Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a question for you. So I'm new to the area, but what do you consider to be Canada's biggest pastime? Donuts? Classic answer. I think I've heard is hockey. Yeah, eating donuts, I think that'd be good. Maybe you can convince me of Canadian football, something like that. But if you ask me, I think Canada's national pastime is shopping. Check out some of these numbers. In the average Canadian household, the average auto loan taken out is around $19,000. The average credit card debt is around $21,000. For the student that goes to college for 4 years, the average student will graduate with roughly $34,000 in student loans. And combine this with mortgage rates, and the average average Canadian household is in debt roughly $154,000. We are rock stars at spending money, wouldn't you agree? But for all the good things that we get from the things that we buy, you know, it's good to provide for your family, buy a car, purchase an education, but for all the good things that we get from them, there seems to be an equal amount of stress and problems that comes along with finances. And this affects every age group. Think about it. We tell our kids from early on that you should go to school so you can get good grades, so you can go to a good school, so you can get a good job where you make lots of money. And middle-aged people, how many of your arguments do you have in your household where finances are the source of the problem? She wants him to work less so they can have more time together. But he wants to work more so the family can have more. She's mad that he bought a boat. He's mad that she bought another purse. And anytime conversations about finances come up, the conversation gets heated very quickly. And what about older people? My guess is the last thing that you want to be is a financial burden on your family. All you want to do is leave behind just a little bit to make sure that your kids and grandkids are provided for. But for all these money or these problems that come up with our money, it seems like if we just had just a little bit more, then our problems would go away. Then I would be happy. If I had more, I could work less and spend more time with my family. If I had more, I could buy more, and that would make me happy. If I had more, I could give away more, and then I would finally be content. But I'm here today to tell you that more isn't always more. More money and more stuff does not equal more happiness. And to do this today, we're going to look at three different parts. First, the lie of more. Then the danger of more, and then the gospel of more. First, the lie of more, that belief that if I have more, then I will be happy. Then we're going to look at the dangerous consequences of what could happen if you base your life solely around just trying to get more money and stuff. And then finally, we're going to learn about how Jesus gives us more than any material possession ever could. So first, let's jump into the lie of more. And I know what you're thinking already. It's kind of fun seeing this nice new guy up here, right? Yeah. But what gives him the right to talk about my money? And you're right. I'm not a financial guru. I'm a seminary student. About a week and a half ago, I found out I can fit literally everything I own in the back of my Honda Civic if I like Tetris it properly. So I'm not going to be here to talk about financial tips and tricks and how to get out of debt faster. I know what it's like to desire to have more as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the words of Jesus and learn about how he wants us to use our money. So Jesus, he's in the middle of a sermon. He's got a large crowd around him, and there's kind of a pause. And then someone from the crowd stands up and goes, Jesus, me. Could you tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me? And Jesus, he's a little taken back. He's like, what? I'm Jesus, and you want to talk about finances with me? I'm here to seek and save the lost. I've got other things to do. And then Jesus says this. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all forms of covetousness. For man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus tells us to watch out, be on our guard against all forms of covetousness. Translators, they kind of bounce back and forth with this word. They translate it greed, translate it covetousness. But the heart of the meaning is the idea of someone always trying to get more, someone always thirsting for more. Picture it like this. Imagine a man is stranded in the middle of the ocean and he's running out of water. And his mouth becomes very dry and he gets very thirsty. So what's he do? He leans over the side of the boat and he cups his hand and he starts to drink some of the salt water. And at first, it feels great to his dry mouth. But then he keeps drinking and drinking and drinking until it dehydrates him faster until he dies. That's the picture of greed. Whether you realize it or not, each person here has a thirsty heart. We crave love, acceptance, intimacy, security. But the problem is, whenever we turn to an outward source like money or stuff to satisfy an inner longing, we will always be left dry and empty. But this is a lie that is so easy to believe, wouldn't you agree? You know, you turn on the television, you see any commercial, and it shows a guy who looks kind of down, but then he buys the product that they're trying to sell, and then he looks happy, and you think, maybe that'll work for me too. Or maybe you say this out loud, or it's just something you think, but you tell your family that we will be secure once we get X amount of dollars in our bank account. Then I know we will be provided for, then I know we will be safe. But when we think like this, we are believing a lie. True joy, true peace, true happiness can only come from Jesus Christ. And he tells us to watch out. Be on your guard. Life isn't about how much stuff you have. More isn't always more. So Jesus, he gets this point across, and then he wants to talk about how dangerous it is. And he tells a story to do this. He talks about the danger of more. He talks about this one man who owned so much stuff. Side point, there's nothing wrong with having a lot. There's nothing wrong with being rich or having lots of money. In the story, it sounds like everything that he got came from God. He was blessed. So his problem wasn't the fact that he had a lot. The problem was his attitude towards it. Okay, so this man, he gets to this point in his life where he has so much stuff and he thinks to himself, I can finally relax. I finally have everything I need. I can finally kick back. But now let's look at this man's attitude. And as I read these next two verses, count with me how many times he says the word my. This is what he says. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Did you catch his selfish attitude? He said, my barns, my grain, my goods, my soul. He said my so many times that he started to sound like one of those seagulls from Finding Nemo. Mine, mine, mine. And this is the exact opposite of what the Christian attitude should be. As a Christian, we recognize that every good thing that we have comes from God. But often we wake up in the morning and say, in the morning I will wake up and eat my food and then get in my car and go to my job and then afterwards I will spend my money. But really, the proper Christian attitude is recognizing everything comes from God. So what we should be saying is, in the morning I will wake up and eat God's food and get into God's car and go to God's job and then afterwards spend God's money. That's the true attitude, recognizing that everything comes from God. But this man, he had it all backwards. He thought to himself that I have so much stuff, now I can be happy. But then God showed up. This is what God said. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? So this man thought that he could finally relax in life, but then God showed up and said, you are going to die. So then what happened? His stuff in his barns that he put, it rotted. And his body was thrown into a grave where he decayed. I think you can understand now how dangerous this is. whether you are new to the church or you've been a Christian your whole life, you understand this, that if you build your life around stuff, it's dangerous because our stuff can disappear like that, and one day we will die. You understand this. You understand that money doesn't buy happiness. But I have one more quote I want to share with you. It's from Mark Twain. Maybe some of you have heard of Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. But he's known for having his sharp and pointed quotations. And this is what he says about money. He says, "Some men worship rank. Some worship heroes. Some worship power. Some worship God. And over these ideals they dispute and cannot unite. But they all worship money." They all worship money. I know what you're thinking. That sounds kind of harsh, right? I mean, and we might have a problem with greed. The person next to me probably has a problem with greed. But worship? I've never worshipped money. I've never bowed down to a $100 bill. I've never prayed to my credit card. But really, whenever we turn to our money or our stuff to give us happiness, security, joy, peace, we are turning to money for as a thing that only God can truly provide. And in that way, we are worshiping our stuff. And this isn't Mark Twain's idea. It's from the Bible as well. The Apostle Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and covetousness," that word we were looking at, "which is idolatry." So see, we have here the word covetousness linked with idolatry. The idea that if you are looking for money to provide happiness, you are treating it like a god. And you understand that money is dangerous because it could disappear at any time, and also that you're going to die. But the most dangerous thing about the idol of more is that it's threatening to destroy our relationship with God. More isn't always more. So Jesus, he finishes telling his story, and then he has a couple side comments to make afterwards. And this is what he says. "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." So this man, he was rich from an earthly standard. He had a lot of stuff. But he died. And when he died, he had to give an account to God the Father for all the ways that he used his money, for his selfishness and his entitlement. And one day, each person here is also going to die. And when we die, we're going to have to give an account to God the Father for the way that we've used our money. But we do not need to fear. For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived in heaven and had everything, came to this world full of poor and stingy sinners, and he owned nothing. Our God, the one robe that he wore, had it stripped off of him by Roman soldiers. The God of the universe was beaten, stripped naked, and nailed to a cross. He who was rich became poor so that poor sinners can be eternally rich. Jesus took on a crown of thorns so that we could be given a crown of life. Jesus had his robe stripped off of him so that we could be given a robe of righteousness. He who was rich became poor so that we can be rich. And he gives this to us as a free gift. Last summer, I had an opportunity to serve in a church in New Mexico for the summer. It was a great opportunity. It was a very mission-minded congregation. And on any Sunday, about half the pews' chairs were filled with Navajo people. And these Navajo people, lots of them had backgrounds with the traditional Navajo religion, which meant that if they wanted some type of prayer or ceremony done, they would have to call up a witch doctor, and they would come to their house, and then they would pay them, and then this witch doctor would do some type of ceremony, and then they would leave. But if they wanted some other type of ceremony or prayer done, they would have to call up the witch doctor, and then they'd come back, and then they'd pay them even more, and then they'd do some type of ceremony. And this made it a religion based off of works and how much money you had. Thankfully, our God does not treat us like this. He gives us Jesus. He gives us the gospel as a free gift, not depending on how much money you have and not depending on what good things that you did. He gives this to us as a free gift. And this gift changes how we view our money. it helps younger people decide what career they're going to go into without basing it solely off of which job pays the most money. It helps middle-aged people have conversations about their finances without it becoming a heated argument in their households. And for older people, we recognize that the God of the universe will take care of you and your family, regardless of how much money you have in your bank account. We live in a world that promises us that if you have more, then you will be happy. But that's a lie. More joy, more peace, more happiness comes through Jesus Christ. Now, my prayer for each one of us here is that we learn how to use our money to glorify our God. We do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.